Jackson to the end zone. Touchdown, Texas Tech.
Ezukama for the touchdown.
Hand off to Marcus Fields down the sideline. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Welcome on, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. Ladies and gentlemen, we finally made it to the full season preview podcast. Over the last month, I believe, or that's what it feels like anyway, we've been going over all the different positions from defensive back all the way to quarterback. But now we get to talk about the team as a unit. We get to talk about everybody. We get to talk about the schedule. We get to talk about the wins, the losses, and make bold predictions. And I got the fearless threesome. And it's the only other time you can call us a threesome. Me, myself, and I, as well as Dylan Smythe. What's up, Dill?
Yo, who has the five hottest takes in the land? Dylon, 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 and Dylon.
Dylon.
And the weird guy laughing in the
because
background.
Because I spit hot fire.
What is Dylon?
It's a Chappelle Show reference, Jeremy.
Oh, my God.
Get with the times.
Sorry, I'm more of a Key and Peele kind of guy. Dave Chappelle is a legend.
What?
Dave Chappelle's what? A legend. Well, when I was growing up, Dave Chappelle was a thing. But like when I came into my own of like being able to watch TV without my parents around, it was more of a Key and Peele kind of thing.
Dylan, whose man is this? Who let him on the podcast?
Just another suburban white family.
Golly.
Which I think Dave does a lot of skits on that anyways, so I'm just fitting the archetype, buddy.
Well, the podcast is already off to an abysmal start, if you ask me.
Just like our season.
Yeah, it was an incredible reference, and I'm sad he didn't get it.
I'm
you
sorry,
know,
man.
It's just...
Aaron like, is as close as I can get.
We're disrespecting legends here.
Not we.
I don't want to do it.
But luckily, there's no legends on the Texas Tech football team to disrespect, so we can disrespect all those scrubs. Anyways, Dylan, I want your initial reaction to the full team and what's the first thing you have to say about this team as we get into the full season preview?
The depth has improved all the way around. I think I'm confident in saying that. I don't know if we're going to be a better team, but in a year when depth is going to be really important, we are deeper than we were last year.
All right, Dylan, it's all about the depth. Jeremy, what is your first thought when it comes to this team?
Last year, we finished 1-5 in games by 10 points or less. It just feels like that is impossible to repeat this year. So by that metric, it's going to be a better year.
That's a good metric. That is a good metric. My initial thoughts on this team is that an article came out that listed Texas Tech Red Raiders and said that we would be the 9th best team in the Big 12 out of 10 teams. And you know what I said to that? He's probably right. That's what I said to that. Y'all listen to the podcast. Y'all know I'm pessimistic. Al. I just don't really like the team very much. But we're going to get a little bit more into that. So first I want to talk about the defense or about the offense as a unit. We've already talked about the quarterback, the O-line, the tight ends, the receivers. Guys, I want you to tell me what to make of this offense as a unit. What can we expect from Coach Yost's side of the ball?
Yeah, so we can expect an expanded playbook. One of the big things last year, one of my biggest complaints, and I think one of the biggest complaints of Texas Tech fans, is that screens, a go route that doesn't work, screens, that like we had such a limited playbook because we were on our third string quarterback who was wild in every sense of the word. And now that we have a lot more depth, as Dylan was mentioning earlier, we have a lot more ability to expand a playbook. Because if we understand anything from Yost, it's that he's been able to perform as an offensive coordinator successfully at different programs. And you do not become a successful coordinator by throwing screens. So There is a playbook that Yost has, and that we will be able to play we'll be able to play a lot more than we did last year, a lot more diversity. So we'll be able to see a lot more people use their talents. We'll be able to see a lot more of maybe TJ Vasher. So Roderick Thompson is going to be a integral part of this offense this year. It's just going to look a lot more diverse than it did last year. And I think people can just breathe a sigh of relief because that was just sorely needed last year.
Good analysis, Jeremy. Dylan, do you have anything to add to that?
Add to it. It's kind of echoing the same sentiments, but yeah, like Jeremy said, Yost was just really handcuffed by his quarterback play and by the offensive line, and there just wasn't a lot that he can do. So I'm excited to see what Yost would do with a healthy team. I think opening up the playbook and a healthy Alan Bowman makes this offense so much different than it was last year. And you guys have heard me talk. I'm a big tight end fan, so let's throw the tight end into the offense too. And I think this offense is going to look a lot different.
Well, I guess my question becomes, do you think the offense was handcuffed because of the quarterback, or that's just the play calling?
I posit that it's the quarterback. It was a quarterback issue.
They didn't trust Jet Duffy. Yeah. They didn't want to call anything other than 12 plays for Jet Duffy.
Right. I'm with Dylan on that one.
Now we gave David Yost a lot of crap, but really he was just working with what he had.
That's fair.
Yeah, I dunked on Yost a lot last year on the Twitter account. And for that, Yost, if you show me something different this year, I revoke all of that. I'm sorry.
Well, you know Yost does listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan of the podcast.
The hair raid.
He does have a hat.
Of course.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and here's my problem, is that Bowman didn't look good in the system last year either. And we were just as frustrated with the play calling with Alan Bowman at the quarterback position as much as we were with Jet Duffy. Right? I do think that questioning the play calling is something we're going to do, because it's – one, we've questioned the play calling for as long as I can remember. Right? We questioned it with Neil Brown. We questioned it with Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury was so good at calling plays in the NFL now. And we still questioned it. But I think us as fans, we don't like this dink and dunk offense. But I think that's at the core what this is. What this offense is, right? And so I think the thing about it is that one thing that's going to help us is the fact that our strongest position on offense is receivers, because it's going to be guys like Keshawn Carter, guys like your boy Dalton Rigdon are going to have to take the ball and take it to the house, okay? Because I do think we're going to have to rely on that position more. And not just that position, also Sir Roderick Thompson, running back, more than Alan Bowman. I think the better they play, the more pressure is relieved off of Alan Bowman. So if he has a 300-yard game, he has 4 touchdowns with it, because all he had to do was dink it out to his receivers. So
yeah, and the depth at receiver probably helps that conversation. In this dink and dunk offense, if it is what we are, it's all about just getting the ball in the hands of your explosive players as fast as possible and letting them go.
And we got a lot of explosive players this year.
We correct. Do. We do. So let's switch to the other side of the ball, which we talked about it last year. Second worst run defense in the Big 12. Third worst pass defense in the entire United States of America. reaction to that? What do you expect from this team in 2020, Jeremy?
Man, I'm expecting a lot more. I'm excited to see Adrian Fry move back to his natural position. I'm excited to see Paul Randolph, after a full offseason of coaching with his guys, to have a much stronger run defense. I'm extremely excited to see Derek Jones, who is an accomplished secondary coach. Yeah, he was at Duke before this, but man, he really coached up. If you're coaching up Duke secondary to be where they were in pass defense, I think they were 50-something last year. If you can do that there, you can certainly do that here. And to have the talent that he does, I just hope that I'm expecting a lot more this season.
All right, Dylan, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, you said it. It can't get much worse.
oh, boy, it could.
But I like the new additions in the staff. And I do think, like the offense, the defense is deeper. Maybe not necessarily top-down talent better, but deeper. And I think that's going to result in both a better pass defense and rush defense. Because, like I mentioned in a podcast before, like some of those things go hand in hand. You know, having a better defensive line and a pass rush will help the defensive backs. So
Hey, and let me interject again. Keith, let me just like affirm that Keith Patterson is not a bad defensive coordinator.
He's not. No, he's not.
No.
He's not. I think I felt bad for him because I do think that last year you're talking about working with what he had to work with. Keith Patterson last year was truly trying to put lipstick on a pig. I mean, this is a tough defense to learn, right? This is a pretty tough defense. And you go from Gibbs's simple defense, right? Which is 4-2-5, let's just get turnovers, let's just play just simple defensive plays, to a very complex defensive system with a bunch of guys that are, which we had a fairly immature defense, right? I mean, you got to think, who are the two guys that we saw really, the three guys we saw really succeed in the system? The three seniors. And the guys that didn't were the young guys, the freshmen, the sophomores. We didn't have a lot of veteran depth last year. And the guys that succeeded were the smarter guys on the team. So now these guys are year number two in the defensive system. We could actually see a big defensive leap in year two. That's what, because you got to look. I will say this. This defense mirrors Baylor's old defense when they had Coach Rick. And it also mirrors Iowa State's defense. Both Iowa State and Baylor had massive defensive jumps in year two.
Pause. Al, I can still hear you're not up on your mic.
What about now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just remember, stick your face in there before you start talking. It's fine. We can continue, but...
All right. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
You're not wrong.
All right. Do I have to repeat what I just said?
Just no. What do you think about year two?
I repeat. Both Iowa State and Baylor, big strides in year two, right? That's one thing that does give me a little bit of hope. But the problem, I think, the biggest question mark I have is with the transfers, with the additions, D line and linebacker. Actually, I do think are going to be the strength of this defense. I still question the secondary. I still look at the secondary and say this is the least talented group on the team and the Big 12, where you need a really strong secondary to do anything. So I think unless we have a situation where the front seven just really shut down the passing and running game, I do think it'll still be rough on this defense. And so I'm definitely worried. Not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I think it's fair to be skeptical. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I would you bring in Baylor and Iowa State. I think we're a lot more akin to Baylor because I think of Iowa State, their defense. So John Haycock is not an aggressive coordinator. Keith Patterson is an aggressive coordinator. John Haycock runs a 3-3-5 defense that has shown that just the formation of that defense can be the bane of Big 12 offense. Patterson, not the same, different style. And so we can have a breakout year like Baylor did, but I don't think we have the same structural efficiency that Iowa State does.
Well, what I'll say about that though is that the main comparison would be is the idea of speed, right? Like all three defenses were all about minimizing the bulk and just bringing speed to the position. Having like Iowa State's 3-3-5, where you add in an extra secondary player. We're going to be rotating a lot of our. So at times we're going to have our Raider linebacker. At other times we're going to have our fifth nickel corner in the game. Our spur DB in the game. So we're going to have a lot of rotations, a lot of guys coming in and out, a lot of complex plays, and we're going to be confusing the offense a lot of times as well. And so I just think we're going to see a defense that we've probably never seen at Texas Tech before this year. Right.
And that's a good thing.
That's my main thing. So I do want to talk about the schedule. So this year, the schedule is all types of topsy-turvy. It really began with the fact that nobody knew if the season was going to be played. I even hopped in the Viva chat and was like, guys, we ain't playing football this year. I'm pretty positive of it. All right? I said, nope, it's done. It's a done deal. We're not playing football this year.
I'm still not entirely sure we're playing.
Well, I mean...
just for reference, SMU and TCU canceled their game today.
That's true.
That's true. That is true. And this was the 100th year celebration of that game, too.
Oh, my gosh.
And they canceled it because of COVID concerns.
Everything we love is being destroyed. Keeping it real.
Doing this podcast under the assumption that everything's going to go fine. We're going to play 9 games and cool football, or 10 games and football. But
oh, well, Dylan, I mean, it doesn't really matter how many games you play. You still set Alabama with over 3,000 yards.
So. Yeah, 1 game, 10 games, got to throw for 3,000.
Got to throw for 3,000. That's the rules of the predictions. So I do want to talk about the schedule. So the rule that came out was in the Big 12, you will play your normal round-robin death schedule, and you get one non-major. You get one mid-major. Anybody you want to play. You can pick whoever you want. Tech was like, cool. We picked that little redheaded kid that couldn't play, that can't step up to the field whatsoever, Houston Baptist. We pick you.
Oh, right? My gosh.
Let's get the easiest win possible for game one, Houston Baptist. But after Houston Baptist, it gets kind of tough. They played 2 weeks after that. They got Texas, right? Then K-State, at Iowa State, West Virginia, Oklahoma, at TCU. Like, this is not an easy schedule. It's not front loaded. It's not back loaded. It's just loaded. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on the schedule, Jeremy?
As soon as you said this isn't an easy schedule, what stands out to me is that this is just our conference schedule with one non-conference. So, of course, it's not easy. We're projected to finish 9th in the conference by a myriad of sports networks out there, amateur bloggers, professional bloggers. It's just the range is insane that there's like, oh yeah, Texas Tech better than Kansas, but not going to be better than anybody else. And
actually, that article had us better than West Virginia, and that was it. That Kansas better than us, but continue.
Oh wow, who is this from?
I'd have to look back into it. I was pretty sure it's USA Today, but
I can't remember. I have not looked at USA Today, but like CBS, like Fox, like all these like SB Nation, whatever's 9th, you know. And so yeah, we have a hard schedule because last year we played like crap. I have a lot of optimism. Dylan and I talked about this a week or so back. I have a lot of optimism about this based on things that are coming out about depth charts, based on COVID concerns and stuff like that, based on the reality of like traveling this year and the difficulty of that comes into that. Like the whole pandemic may end up playing in our favor somewhat, you know, should we play these games out. But I have optimism, but you're not wrong. I mean, this is a really tough schedule, and I see us losing a lot.
Yeah, even my like optimistic win totals are not high.
Yeah.
I mean, so but what do you think about the schedule? Dylan, that's what we're on. Wow. Schedule.
I mean, it's the Big 12 schedule. It's the same schedule it is every year, yeah. And it's outside of Houston Baptist, there's almost no gimmies.
So I will say, so I'm looking it up now. I couldn't find the article I read. It's probably done a while ago, but almost everybody has us 9th only ahead of Kansas. Almost everybody. I saw one that had us 8th ahead of West Virginia and Kansas, and that's about it. So hey,
let me make a shout out to David Cobb of CBS, is the only guy on their Big 12 staff who had us at 6th. In front of Baylor, West Virginia, Kansas State, and Kansas. I appreciate your optimism, David.
Wow.
Thank you. I'll buy you a beer anytime you're in Lubbock.
We're not that optimistic.
Yeah, well, we'll see how long he lasts.
There you go. He's also got Oklahoma State at 3rd, so, you know, some people try.
I actually think Oklahoma State will be pretty good this year. But anyways...
I don't know. I don't think they're. But go ahead. It's just an Oklahoma State pod. Let's get back to it.
Well, so let's talk about it. We're talking about the schedule. We're talking about the record. I mean, let's dig right into it. What will be the Texas Tech record this year? Dylan, you're first at crack at it. What do you got us finishing?
4-6, and if I'm being optimistic, 5-5.
So are you being optimistic or not?
Yeah, there you go.
Can't make two predictions.
No. 4-6. I see four wins.
Four wins. Who are the four wins?
Houston Baptist, Kansas State, West Virginia, and Kansas.
Okay.
The fuck is steal my stuff?
Hey, last time we talked, you talked me into five wins somehow.
Well, because we split Texas TCU. We said that was a one No, it was one of those two.
I think that's a 50-50 game.
Yeah.
Against TCU in Lubbock East.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jeremy, how many wins you got us getting this
year? I got us getting five, Albie. I do think that we have the ability to beat TCU. Ooh. They're having depth chart issues over there. So I feel like we can capitalize on that. If we somehow make it to November 7th, we can do it.
Ooh, spicy. Five wins. Okay. All right. You know what? Look. All right. Y'all ready for my prediction on how many?
No.
I'm nervous.
One.
Y'all ready for
HBU.
This?
Two. Yeah. Two with Kansas, maybe. It's
I
close
have
one.
I have spent this last month doing these previews talking nothing but trash about the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Now we get to the schedule, people. And I've told you that this is a brutal schedule. Brutal. We're gonna get three wins this year.
Who are they?
Houston Baptist. Really stepping on the ledge with that one. Woo!
You get
close game.
Dangerous.
99% chance we win that game.
Yeah.
Texas Christian.
Okay. Hey, there we go. See.
And a rivalry game.
Oh yeah.
Kansas.
It's hot. It's a revenge game.
Wow. So we're gonna lose to Jarrett Daigie and Neil Brown.
Yeah. Hey, good for Daigie to get that starting spot.
Look, y'all already know I'm high on Neil Brown. I think West Virginia's
going to
have a pretty
good year. Yeah, for no good reason.
I think West Virginia's going to have a pretty good year this year, and I think that'll be the game.
How?
Where they surprise people. And say,
yeah, I don't.
It would be a really surprise.
Your faith in West Virginia is dookie.
It would
be. They started truly playing pretty good football at the end of last year, and they have a full off season. This is the team. Jared Davis is going to have a good year, too. All right, y'all heard it here first. West Virginia. Now, I think they're going to beat us. I think they're a better team. But I will say this. I will say, as much as I said all of that, I do think our fourth win, if we get it, would be West Virginia, after I just said all those things, will be West Virginia, right? But I don't see us getting more than four wins, though. There's nothing on this schedule says we get more than four wins. I think West Virginia is the fourth win if it happens, but I don't. At Kansas State, no. At Iowa State, no. Oklahoma, no. At Oklahoma State after we beat them last year, and no. Baylor, probably not. I just don't see, four wins. At that point, we just pray that they let more people into bowl games because nobody's playing, right? This is just not a – I will say this. As much as I've talked about the transfers, I do feel a little bit better about the transfers, especially in the front seven. If Tyree Wilson plays, we have Colin Schooler, we have Krishan Merriweather. I think that really gives me a little bit more optimism. But the schedule's brutal. We're not – the best we're going to do is 4-6, right? But I still think we lose to West Virginia team that I think is going to actually surprise some people. And that just puts us three wins, and it's a pretty – and that would put Matt Wells at the lowest two-year win production in, I think, Texas Tech history.
Rough.
That is pretty rough.
So, yeah. That'd
Can I
fun.
Come in with a spicy prediction?
Yeah, ooh, let's hear it. Spicy prediction.
8-win season.
100% guaranteed Texas Tech is bowl eligible.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's,
you know,
not even
how
up to
spicy
football.
It is. Yeah, I don't know how spicy it is because they could just let everybody play bowl.
Isn't it you have to get one win? Isn't that what I read?
Is
it?
That's the latest joke for sure.
Is it?
I thought that's what I had read, but maybe that's not actually truth.
It could be. It is the internet.
They're going to let pretty much anybody who wants to play a ball game play, so.
Honestly.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up now. The NCAA's Division I Council announced it approved a blanket waiver to allow FBS teams to count two wins. Oh, no. That
God. Oh, okay.
yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Okay, well, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, at this point, I feel like they're going to just have to let everybody play, really. So I do want to talk about, before we get off of here, let's talk about the conference as a whole. All right, let's talk about some awards and some standings. So first off, I want to ask y'all, we'll start with you, Mr. Dylan Smythe, who will be the Offensive Player of the Year in the Big 12?
In the Big 12? Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba Hubbard, all right. All
I right, mean, he was just unstoppable last year, and he's going to do it again.
All right, Jeremy.
I like the Hubbard pick. Yeah, Chuba Hubbard. I mean, well, I was really high on him last year when we played them against Oklahoma State. I was like, yeah, I mean, this guy is probably going to run all over us. They didn't. Hey, but, you know, he is an extreme athlete. And kudos for him coming back, deciding to come back.
I got Brock Purdy. Have. Brock Purdy.
No, why?
Look, Brock, man, y'all better stop sleeping on my boy Purdy.
Okay. That's the other correct answer. It's one of these two guys. It's one of the
two. They're both fantastic. I think just Chuba Hubbard has a lot more. I mean, being a running back seems like a lot more of a. You go, and Albert. Please go ahead. I would love.
Well,
I just want to hear.
Well, so yeah. Chuba Hubbard did win last year, but I. One, I don't think he's going to win it in back-to-back years, and two. Him being a running back does kind of hamper him. I do think Spencer Sanders for Oklahoma State is going to get more reins on the Oklahoma State offense. He's the guy they're kind of that they were anyway excited about. I don't think Oklahoma State fans are as excited about him because he had kind of a subpar season. Mm-hmm. But when he's good, when he's on, and we're gonna get a little bit more into the standings. But I think Oklahoma State's gonna have a surprisingly good year. Actually, not surprising to me, but surprising to some people. Good year this year. So, but another question. Defensive player of the year. Jeremy, who you got?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Pass. I don't know.
You can't pass? What the hell is this?
Oh, you know who I'd pick? Schooler. Defensive player of the year. I'm a
terrible choice.
No, it's not. I'm locking in on that.
What a terrible. You're going to lock in on that?
I'm locking in on that. Yeah, great awareness, good size, great speed, and this kind of conference, dude, he can do it.
Dude, you didn't even say he was gonna lead the team in tackles.
Yeah, that was a different night.
God, the worst. Dylan, who's the defensive player of the year?
You know, I should have been prepared for this question, but I'm not. Yeah, but Dylan. How about Caden Stearns from Texas?
Oh, gross.
What?
Do you kiss your mother with that mouth?
Why?
No.
Come on.
Psst, that's actually
not a popular answer, but.
No, that's actually a really good answer, Dylan.
It's a good answer. It's just not a popular one.
It's just not an answer that we want to talk about on the Air Raid podcast. We're a Texas Tech pod. We don't want to say anything like that, but it's actually a really good answer, and it's probably the right answer. But anyways, what a bad answer, Dylan. Oh.
What is it with these Texas safeties?
Oh.
What about the safety from TCU? More
yeah, like, so that's
good too. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Who you say?
Trevon Moehrig.
Yeah, so that's actually my guy that I was going to bring out. TCU's always got a good defense, even though they just can never beat Tech. My main reason for picking Tech to beat TCU is simply because we always beat them. I have no other analysis other than that. Right, like I'm not picking Tech to beat TCU because I think that like TCU is this, that, and the other. I just think Tech will always beat them, but I do think that he's going to have a really good year. I think the TCU defense will have a good year. I just think Max Duggan or however you say his name, sucks. So, but yeah, no, I definitely think that he'll have a good year, and that's
honorable mention. Garrett Wallow.
Garrett
Wallow
is another guy. Oh, damn. Hey, great minds. great minds.
TCU just constantly will have like a good defense. It's their offenses that keeps them from being a good team.
Yeah.
Well, totally. What about Dylan. That was actually pretty good. I don't know what the hell Jeremy was doing, but that was actually pretty good.
Amen, we're done letting you say all the names.
Who?
Albert.
Oh yeah.
You know what? I actually wasn't gonna try.
Stop ripping.
You know it's funny. I could say that, but I don't know how to spell either of Jeremy's names.
Ah, shit. Well, that's just
the
burden.
Say, there's some Nigerian names that are just, you know what? Y'all got it.
Yeah.
Who were we having a trouble with the other night against, what was it, offensive lineman?
Oh.
Verhoost. Yeah. I can't even do that. Yeah, that guy. Casey.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, man, Casey V.
But I think that he's another one that he's actually really good. And what if he won Defensive Player of the Year and Chuba Hubbard won Offensive Player of the Year?
God, Oklahoma State would be
State would have a very good year.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. What were the final standings? You like that? You like the little segue there?
That was good. Yeah, that was good.
What were the final standings in the Big 12 be? Let's start off. Who's going to win the Big 12? And then give you us their final standings. Dylan, you go first.
Who's going to win the Big 12?
Yeah.
Iowa State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think Brock Purdy's the best quarterback in the Big 12. I think they have the best defense in the Big 12 as well. Yeah, Iowa State. I'm a big Matt Campbell fan.
All right, well, tell us the standings. Who finishes first, second, third, all that?
Ooh. Let's see here.
Are you just puffing your chest out with Iowa State and you're ready to leave it at that?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was kind of walking away, dropping a grenade.
Iowa State, followed by Oklahoma, followed by Baylor, followed by Oklahoma State, followed by Texas, followed by Kansas State, followed by Texas Tech, West Virginia, Kansas.
All right, so you got Tech finishing.
Oh, I forgot TCU in there somewhere.
TCU ahead or behind Tech?
Ahead.
All right, so you have Texas Tech finishing eighth in the Big 12. Interesting. Jeremy, who wins the Big 12?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma winning the Big 12 for what would be, the fifth year in a row?
With a redshirt freshman starting quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so there's questions. I mean, you got what's Rattler going to be like? How does the running back room take over? I mean, we got Kennedy Brooks and Trey Sermon that are gone. Is the defense going to take another step forward under Grinch, which is an awesome name? but I mean, time and time again, Oklahoma, I think, has answered those questions as a program. A year after year after year, the questions come up for Oklahoma. We're all like, oh, is this the year? And they just come out and they scream by and they win the title and then they embarrass us in the playoffs. It until somebody can prove me differently, and I like your pick, Dylan. I like Iowa State's defense. I think they have structurally the best defense for the Big 12, because like you can just insert any 3-star in there and it can be good. And I think they'll be surprisingly good in this next. It's pretty wide open this year, but I think Oklahoma, until somebody will prove me differently, I think it's like 2015 is the last time that another team scored more points than they did per game. Just until that, until somebody proves me differently, it's got to be Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, a lot of Tech ties. You got Lincoln Riley on the offense, obviously a Texas Tech grad. You got Ruffin McNeil, one of the defensive coaches, was the D coordinator. A couple years ago? Now one of the defensive assistants, former Texas Tech D coordinator, and Grinch used to be the D coordinator for Mike Leach, coming from Washington State. So, that's not a bad pick. Obviously, I mean, this team has won the Big 12, 5 years straight. So, I mean, they're obviously good. Lincoln Riley doesn't know how not to win the Big 12. But a lot of question marks for sure. Definitely a weird year to have to basically rebuild your entire team, both on offense and defense, which is why I'm actually, before I get to my pick, because Jeremy, you got to say who you're going to go first, second, third, all that. Go.
Yeah. Dylan, who did you have for your second and third?
Iowa State, Oklahoma. Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
Baylor's picks?
No. Yeah, I'm actually I can't because I picked Baylor Oklahoma first. So I'm actually flipping that, because for me, I think Oklahoma, obviously, number one. I think Oklahoma State has the edge on Iowa State. Brock Purdy's an awesome quarterback, but if Sanders comes out and is an average quarterback for Oklahoma State this year, just completely like across the board for all their games, they have a lot of assets all around him that I think they could solidify, you know, a second place bid. But Oklahoma State and Iowa State are interchangeable for me. And then it's Texas after that. And the rest of the five are kind of a shit show. I don't really know.
Where does Texas Tech land?
Oh my gosh. So if I'm being optimistic and I had them at, I think, 5 wins, that would put them at, either 6th or 5th, right? So that's pretty high. Not that I put it in that perspective.
6th or 5th.
I think it's 7th or 8th, yeah, really.
It sounds, it's, yeah, 7th or 8th, probably. I'm going to say it's going to be 7th. 4 wins, 7th.
Effing yikes.
Ahead of TCU, West Virginia, and Kansas.
Yeah, so I liked your points on both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. I really did. Oklahoma's really great coaching. Probably, I'd argue, but maybe best coaching in the nation.
Mm.
Oklahoma State returns a lot of players. They return a lot of players. Like their team was, and also their team played pretty well at the end of last season. I mean, we're like Tech fans. We're looking at the team that a bad Tech team beat up on last year, but they really started coming on strong towards the end of the year. You know, Baylor. I mean, that's the team that almost won the Big 12 last year. But all that is to say that the team that usually wins the Big 12 is the team with the best quarterback. Mm. And Iowa State got the best quarterback. I'm actually kind
hey.
Of
hey, I'm, there it is.
I'm kind of upset that Dylan you saw my pick. I thought I was about to come up out here and be the Iowa State guy, but no. I agree with you. Brock Purdy's the best quarterback. Their defense is still their defense probably will also be the best defense in the Big 12 too. Mm. Right? So you're going to have the best quarterback and the best defense in the Big 12. That's boom, right there, just like that. I think they're going to.
Well, don't forget that All-American tight end, Charlie Kolar. That dude's a Charlie monster.
One that destroyed us.
That's
last
a freaking,
I was at that game. PTSD, that was the only game I went to last season, and it was an embarrassment because of that tight end.
A freaking monster.
He pushed off, but
that is corn fed. He did push off. That is corn fed, no doubt.
He's an absolute beast. So I think Iowa State, to me, will be the pick. But it'll be interesting, though, because I don't think they go undefeated, right? I think they're going to have at least one loss, if not two. So I think they'll definitely be interested. Could be co-champs. Number two.
One true champion, right?
Iowa State's his champion, yeah.
It's just Big 12. It's their motto, one true champion, and then they have co-champions.
Oh, my God.
Well, so, I mean, but you got to realize there is the Big 12 championship. And who I think Iowa State will play in the Big 12 championship, will they be in the Big 12 championship? Up until literally 2 minutes ago, I was picking the Oklahoma Sooners. I was picking the Oklahoma Sooners to be
until
the
I started
the
talking about them.
No, until you started reminding me how good Oklahoma State is going to be.
Oh,
Oklahoma State! That is Bedlam the last game of the season again? I hope so. But Oklahoma State is going to be a pretty good team this year. You're right. Spencer Sanders, when he got the job, I was like, man, he's not going to be any good this year. But give him about 2 years, he's going to be a beast.
Don't forget,
if he cleans
Wallace.
Up his turnovers, he is a really good quarterback.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No and doubt. So him, Chubba Hubbard, Amen, Ogbong Abia. Yeah, I think
Tylan Wallace,
Bamiga,
and Tylan Wallace out wide.
My bad. Tylan Wallace, like this team has talented. Unfortunately, Mike Gundy's a jack wagon, but the team is talented.
Maybe that's what makes a difference.
Maybe. And another thing is if Oklahoma's in the Big 12 title game, it's going to be hard for me to pick Iowa State to beat them. So I feel a lot better about Iowa State beating Oklahoma State. So. I got Oklahoma State finishing second, which puts Oklahoma at third. And Oklahoma, we're literally just putting them at third off the strength of their coaching and recruiting, right? Like, we know nothing about this team at all. Like, we just know that they have a lot of good backups that were ranked really high, and their coaching is really good.
Mm.
Right? And that alone, off that strength, I'm saying they'll finish third, right?
It's kind of akin to Coach Beard at this point, actually.
Oh, all right. I mean, I think that's actually, if anything, that's more props to Beard, if anything. But
honestly,
Beard
and
Riley, I can rock with that.
Yeah.
I can rock with that. Fourth, yeah, I'll give it to Texas. I mean, sure, why not?
Why not?
You know what's funny about that? Texas should be the most they're the most veteran-laden team in the conference. I mean, this should be the year that they're like, oh, Oklahoma's down? This is our time. We have the most talented players in the conference. We have our... like 20-year starters, quarterback Sam Ellinger. Like I said, we're back with a Heisman Trophy, like, you know, preseason, let's look at him type of guy, both 2019 and 2020. They have who'd you bring up? DB that you brought up before.
Caden Stearns.
That's been a four-year starter for them. This should be a team that is looking at, or not four-year, three-year starter for them. This should be a team that's like, yeah, we should win the conference. And yet, I don't know anybody who has the confidence to say that they're going to win the conference.
Well, they have a terrible defense.
Nope. I don't know. I just don't have the confidence, Tom Herman. It just seems like he wastes a lot of talent every year.
Well, that just comes with the territory.
And so I think the thing about Tom Herman, though, is that I don't think he's a bad coach. I really don't. I just don't know or think that he's a good coach.
Do you think they should have got rid of Charlie Strong?
Oh, I mean,
no. Charlie Strong deserved another year.
That's what I think.
I don't know.
Well, we're not Texas fans, so, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he lost to Kansas.
Mm. Yeah, so did we.
Yeah, well, I also don't like Matt Wells, so. Is that?
At least you're consistent. There it is.
Yeah. So I got fifth being Kansas State. I was wrong about that hire. I didn't think that head coaching hire was a good one. I was wrong. I think they're a really good team. They showed a lot of promise last year. I got them finishing fifth. Sixth is where we see Baylor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because of Aranda?
Look, that's a
big, it's a hefty drop.
It is a big drop.
Yeah, I mean, but they lost a lot of players from last year, right? Yes, they keep Charlie Brewer, but Charlie Brewer is very inconsistent. And they have a brand new coaching staff. You know, I think dropping them to sixth, it feels right.
Denzel Mims is gone.
Honestly, Charlie Brewer being on the team is the only reason I actually have them higher. I would have dropped them even more if Charlie Brewer had also left.
They did lose a lot.
They lost a lot on that team.
Thank goodness.
So I got them sixth. Seventh, give me the TCU Horned Frogs. So as much as I don't think Max Duggan is a good quarterback, he is a veteran quarterback. He's a quarterback that's been around the block, knows his strengths and weaknesses. I think he's going to have the best season of his career, even if that doesn't mean much. And the defense is going to be stout. I mean, it always is, and I think it's going to be another year of being a stout defense. So then we get to eighth. The West Virginia Mountaineers.
Why?
Will be eighth. Because I'll tell you, I just told you. Here's the thing.
It still doesn't make sense.
It just doesn't make sense, Albert.
Here's the thing. I have West Virginia beating Tech.
Into the mic.
Which I have West Virginia beating Tech. Which means that
come Tech, back and say it with your chest.
Which means that Texas Tech is going to have only, what is that, two conference wins?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If Tech only has two conference wins, being Kansas and TCU, they're only going to finish eighth or ninth. If West Virginia also has two conference wins and one of them was against Tech, West Virginia finishes eighth.
That's true.
So just like that. I mean, yeah, like I said, if Tech wins one more game, they beat West Virginia, congrats. They finished seventh or eighth. But I just, you know, everybody was so up in arms because, oh, Texas Tech has picked ninth in the conference. Can y'all believe it? And I'm like,
I can believe it.
I can believe it. Yeah, that checks out. And here's the thing is that, and I feel bad for Kansas. Kansas, I got them 10th. Kansas may not be bad. Like Kansas, Puka Williams will be back. That coaching staff's not terrible.
And Carter Stanley was kind of turning the corner.
Right, that's Kansas, true. Kansas is going to win at least two games this year. They're going to win their non-con game, and they're going to win one more in the conference. At least two.
Mm.
Who knows? Maybe one of those two is another
Dear Lord,
another
let it be loss. Texas.
Oh, God.
That'd Dear awesome. 5-pound, 10-ounce sweet baby Jesus.
I would cry.
Let it be Texas.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Jeremy, last thing you want to say about the 2020 Big 12 and Texas Tech college football season?
If we have a full season, consider it a joy. I don't care what the season ends up as. I will just be happy to have football the entire way through.
Dylan?
Yeah, I think I'd echo that sentiment. We could win two games and I'd still be happy to watch Texas Tech football this year.
Such a shit show of a year.
Me? If this season does continue, it's going to be chaos. Absolute chaos. Nobody knows how good anybody is, right? We had a whole preview, and everybody's having the same type of preview because nobody knows. I read an article that has Texas as the best defense. Nobody knows, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. It's just a complete crapshoot. Nobody knows who's playing. The Big 12 just came out with a thing saying that if you have 53 plays, you got to play. So that means that if your quarterback, if Texas Tech goes up against Oklahoma State on the week that Chuba Hubbard is potentially sick or has an injury or something like that. Just like that, it's like there's more reasons a player may be out. There's more likelihood that could happen. So it's completely uncharted territory here.
We did this preview assuming everything was going to be normal, but it's probably safe to say it's not going to be, and that just opens the door for madness, which would probably play in Texas Tech's favor.
Yeah, exactly. So it's this season is going to be absolutely crazy. Everything we're saying could be off or not. Who knows? Dalton Rigdon could lead the team in receiving yards. So, but I'm excited for it. We'll see. I hope the team does get to play. I really do. God, please let us play. So as always, guys, listen to all the previews we had. I mean, season's about to start here in a couple days. Listen to all the previews we had before you watch Tech beat Houston Baptist. I mean, my guess is 100-2.
That's safe.
That's safe.
Safety?
That's a safe bet.
They're going to get us for a safety?
Yeah, no, I think we'll take a knee in the end zone. Sportsmanship.
Yeah.
But before you watch that, listen to all of our previews. We previewed everybody. We even talked about Tony Teo in our preview.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about everybody.
We went into it.
Right. So, so listen to the previews. And this will be a fun football season. I'm excited for it. It's going to be chaos. And we get to do something that people in the Midwest and the West Coast don't get to, which is watch our favorite football team potentially play football. So be grateful, ladies and gentlemen. And wear your damn masks. So for Jeremy, for Dylan, my name is Albie Shore. You've been listening to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by the Matadors. As always, stay wrecked, people.